Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jen A. and I reside in Colorado. I am a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. And today is Friday, October 25th, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter titled We Agnostics, page 55, the second paragraph. It begins with, actually, we were fooling ourselves, and we're going to read through that one paragraph ending with as old as man himself. We're going to comment on that one paragraph only today. Today's readers are Teen Friday. Thanks for serving the month of October. We have the 12 Steps, Deborah R.W., 12 Traditions, Tenzin P. Reader of the text today will be Janet B. Closing reader will be Anita L. And our backup reader is Karen M. Our newcomer greeter for the second hour is Vanita L. Second hour moderator, Matt JF. And Kathy S. will be doing announcements. The reference numbers, the reference numbers for yesterday, 10-24-24, so that's October 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording, is 21,858. That's 21,858. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,859. 21,859. Here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members through our own contributions. Neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Here's our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. That's to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Deborah R. to read the 12 steps.
Yes, good morning. This is Deborah R.W. from Michigan. Thank you, Jen. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Deborah R.W. I will now ask Tenzin P. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin P. Well, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature, then we're going to stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on this topic. The meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted. So today we're resuming our study in the chapter We Agnostics. We're in the Big Book on page 55, that second paragraph. I will now ask Janet B. to begin reading. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Jan. Good morning, everyone. I'm Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. My favorite paragraph in the book. Okay. Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. Well, here's why I love this paragraph. It says that deep down in all of us is the fundamental idea of God. So that tells me that God loves me so much that when he created me, he gave me like 2 lungs, 2 kidneys, 1 heart, 1 stomach. And somewhere in there, he planted the fundamental idea of himself. He wanted that in me. So I could say I'm an agnostic, right? I mean, this is America. I could say I'm a lung agnostic. I don't believe I have lungs. But of course I do. And I can say, well, I don't have a belief in God, but it's there. But it tells me 3 things that can block it. So if I'm thinking there's no God, I need to look at calamity, pomp, and worship of other things. Just like cataracts can block us from seeing things in the physical world, here are three things that are like spiritual cataracts that can block us from knowing our loving God. Like calamity, bad things that have happened to us or those we love. Pomp, that's worship of myself, right? Like if I believe in God, I can't do what I want. And worship of other things. What are my idols? So these things block my belief in God. And why do we even care? Why is it even important to believe in God? Well, they tell us faith in a power greater than ourselves is a fact. But even more important than the faith, than the belief in God, miraculous demonstrations of that power. What good is a belief in God if I don't get any power? But this tells me that when I believe in God, and later on in this book it tells me when I surrender my life to this loving creator, I get a miraculous demonstration of his power in my life. The removal of the food obsession, the removal of my character defects. And our book tells us these are beautiful facts, that the belief in God is in all of us and so can be miraculous demonstrations of his loving power. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Well, thanks so much, Janet B., for kicking us off this morning. And we value everybody who's here today and your experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day. Please share the air so that others can share their experience too. Who would like to share on what was read today? I'll take a list of names. I'll take your first name, the first initial of your last name, one at a time. Go right ahead.
Audrey G. from Boston.
Ross G.
From Minnesota.
Carolina.
Somebody from Minnesota.
Joanne B.
from Florida.
Tony B.
Ross G. in California.
I heard you, Ross. Thanks.
Did you get KDB?
Who's from Minnesota? Yes, I did. Who's from Minnesota?
Talia D. from Minnesota.
Hi, Talia. Thanks.
Hi.
Let me tell you who I heard. It was hard this morning. I don't know why. All right. Ross G., Reva P., Talia D., KDG, Joanne B., Tony B. Who did I miss that said their name?
Carolyn S. from New York.
Bonnie B.
Thank you, Carolyn.
And Bonnie B.
Carolyn S. from New York and Bonnie B.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. No man or woman left behind. There we go. Okay, well, let's get started with Roz G. followed by Reva P. Good morning to you, Roz. Please press star 1, Roz G. We can't hear you.
Okay, Jen, I'm sorry. I hope that you can hear me now. My name is
Roz G. Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes, okay, thank you. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I'm so grateful that you heard my name. And wow. Deep down in every man and child is the fundamental idea of God. And in my religious practice, it says that God's name is written on the hearts of every man and woman. However, it doesn't matter whether I have a religious practice or not, because this paragraph tells me that I have let calamity, pomp, and worship of other things get in the way of God. I've spent so many years doing that. I have, when something goes wrong, I would immediately think, where's God? If there's a God, why am I going through all of this? Why isn't God answering my prayers the way I want him to? Pomp. Of course, I had a huge ego, and I still have problems with my ego, and it certainly needs to be tamed. I want to live on the basis of humility and worship of other things. Oh my gosh, idolization. people will let me down. I have idolized people in so many realms of life, you know, gurus, people who wrote diet books, people who had talk shows on TV, popular people in the 12-step programs. Every single one of them is a human being and has, you know, will and has the potential of letting me down. And who else has that potential? I do. I have that potential too. I need to recognize myself as a human being as well. But, you know, and have I felt let down by God? Of course, God has been on my resentment list because I didn't get the answer to the prayer that I thought I deserved. But when I meditate deep down inside and I think about how God has lit the path of my life and protected me from things I could have gotten myself into, I'm very grateful. And today I do count on God for everything in my life. It doesn't always go my way, but I remember, you know, that saying that human rejection is God's protection. So I'm proud and happy to say that I believe in the way and lights my life. And I would be absolutely nothing without God. And of course I wouldn't be times. And I, you know, catch myself looking at things human versus God. You know how it says we're beyond human aid.
Time, please.
With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Roz. All right, that's Roz G. from California. Up next, we have Reva P. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. I can't believe I'm so keen to share on this paragraph. But it means a lot to me because when I first came in, you know, all the previous chapters basically convinced me that lack of power is my dilemma, that I'm doomed because of the double whammy, the allergy of the body and the twist and obsession of the mind. And my mind will always bring me back to the substances that kill me if I don't have access to this power. So I don't know. I didn't really notice this chapter, read this stuff, or hear it. And I remember going on this whole search, listening to tons of tapes and speakers. And I remember this one convention talk was, where is God? And I thought, this is it. It's going to give me the secret. Where do I find this power? I just couldn't really wrap my head around it. And it was directing me to these two paragraphs, this one and the one that follows. And, you know, I heard an AA speaker who jokes, you know, God knows that he should put himself in the last place that an alcoholic or an addict is going to look. Where? Deep down, right within me. And I look everywhere else, outside myself, in people, in things, in prestige, in anything outside. And it's right there, deep down inside. And I love the reminder that if I can't access or feel or get that conscious contact, it's because I'm blocked. So in step two, I don't necessarily have the conscious contact because I am blocked by all manifestations of self. Calamity for me sometimes is not necessarily external circumstances. It's the calamity in my head. It's that disease of perception of what I think is calamity because I don't see things the way God sees them until I clear the blockages and ego and worshiping people, places, things. So that's the whole purpose of the rest of the chapters, to clear my blockages so I access power. And then what does God do? He gives me these miraculous changes. And I love how it's like that contrast, you know, what do I need to do? I need to go deeper. I don't need to understand more, better. I need to go deeper inside so I can have what it says previously, that spiritual release where we're sort of like the plant that comes out and it's huge. And as the bigger the tree gets, the deeper the roots. That's my job, to seek and maintain and grow that spiritual connection deep down inside me. And that's what the steps take me to. And with that, I pass.
Perfect timing, Reva P. Here we go. Talia D., you're up next from Minnesota.
Hi, this is Talia D. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're echoing a little bit. Go right ahead.
Oh, sorry. I'm recovered compulsive overeater from Minnesota. I'm really grateful to be here this morning. I haven't shared on the line in a while, but what I was thinking about with this paragraph, well, first of all, like just all the miraculous demonstrations in my life that have occurred in just the past, like within 6 months, it's incredible. And just being able to be just, I guess what I was thinking is finding what blocks us from God is, you know, like our four-step inventory. And when we're looking at what's obscuring us from finding God deep within. And, you know, a lot of it too, it might not be the event that happens or something external, but it's my reaction to them. A lot of fear and confusion and resentment. And so I guess what I just wanted to say was like, I just think like if he's deep down inside of me, why can't I access him? Why am I blocked from him? And a lot of it, and it's really just my defects of character that I'm discovering. And as I've been working through this resentment that comes up like every night in my nightly review, which is frustrating, it's just making me realize that I'm making things my business that are none of my business, and I don't get to resent other people based on their actions or my dishonest thinking. And I just have to remember to see God within everyone, because he is deep down inside of all of us. And and when I'm distracted or something, I try to say, go inside, go inside, go inside my heart and ask God what he would have me do or who he would have me be. And anyways, that's all. I'm grateful to be here. And even though I don't understand all the miraculous miracles that I witnessed, I'm witnessing them. So I believe in them and they're real. And this fundamental idea of God is just so, so real. And I'm really grateful. Okay, have a beautiful day.
Thanks, Talia D. from Minnesota. Up next, we have Katie G. from Boston. Katie, are you there?
Hey, Jen. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. I'm Katie G. I'm recovered in Boston. You know, what I love about this book is it tells us three things. Where can I find God? Deep down inside. When can I find God? Right now. May you find him now. And how can I find God? The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Through uncovering, discovering, and discarding all my ideas, all the false notions that I have of reality. And just a few definitions that really help me is that the fundamental idea of God, that's the formation, the basic essential, a discovery fundamental to modern science. So my fundamental right is that deep down in me is this idea of God. It doesn't matter who you are, God is inside. And for me, you know, I've been in the rooms for 20 years, God is not a feeling. God has been a fact for me. God is with me. God is for me. And somebody's unmuted. Please star one your phone. And I agree, the calamity, the pomp, the worship of other things, that's all been in my head, right? Because when I have calamity, you just put a microphone up to my head and you'll hear, that's not God, right? God is yes. Go here. Go there. That is God. And then worship of other things. I often talk about getting stuck at B, right? Our ABCs. A, I am powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. But B, that no human power. And if you want to know what you worship, I've heard, make a pie graph of what you've thought about today. And what you've thought about the most, that's what you're worshiping. And why is that a problem? Because I can't have two gods. If I'm worshiping food, if I'm worshiping exercise, if I'm worshiping my children, if I'm worshiping the scale, if I'm using this as a diet club, if I'm worshiping my boss, no human power. I don't get to have God. And my ego, by my pomp, by my, okay, God, you know, I'm agnostic in this part of my life. You take care of the food, but you know what, God? I'm going to take care of my career. And thanks be to God today, I have a relationship with God where I get disconnected. I'm like a sailboat. You have to pull my reins back in. But once those are pulled back in, I'm sailing with God again. And what a beautiful thing to have him right down inside of me and all of us. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Katie G. from Boston. Up next, we have Joanne B. Where are you calling from this morning, Joanne?
Hi, everybody. I'm Joanne B. from Vermont. Good morning. I love this part of the book and this reading. And what it brought to mind for me was, you know, this fundamental idea of God. You know, I was born into a Catholic family. We went to church, and I always knew that there was a God. I had this idea of a God. But the only thing I thought about was like, okay, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. That's it. I didn't really know how to access God or like what to do with this idea of God. I got sober in another 12-step program. And I've been 17 years sober, and I know that's not me doing that. But still, it wasn't until I came to OA that I learned really how to follow the things in this book and follow the directives in this book. And I'm still searching, and I'm still working at it. And what I realized is that I don't have to look to other people anymore for approval or validation. I don't need to search outside myself all the time for solutions, that it's okay if I make mistakes, as long as I work on it with my higher power. And that's the thing I am working for. I'm working for God. I'm not working for anybody else. And as long as I'm okay with that relationship, everything else seems to fall into place. And it's when I get distracted by all the noise outside and I start getting resentful or frustrated with other people or what's happening, that's when I let go of God. So I have to continuously, like, try and reach him through, like, prayer, meditation, and just, like, kind of, like, surrendering stuff and knowing that I really have no control over anything. Like, 99% of what happens is really out of my control. And I've also learned by looking back on my life, I just turned 60, and I have this rich life to look back on and see all the times that God interceded. And I tried to go one way, and I got all this resistance. And finally, when I was when I accepted, that's when things kind of fell into place for me in different ways and things I didn't expect. So I just got to keep in mind that there's a plan and
time, please.
That I don't, okay, thank you, that I don't have control, but I can just keep my eye on my higher power. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Vermont. All right, up next we have Tony B. Excuse me, Tony, you'll be followed by Carolyn S. Go ahead, Tony.
Thanks very much, Jen. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And what a wonderful meeting so far. Thank you, Janet, for getting us started and everybody who shared. So we were fooling ourselves that, going back into the paragraph before, that it wasn't true. You know, we could see these things, but we told ourselves it wasn't true. But why? Why are we waiting? Why are we being reticent? You know, step across that onto that shore of faith. And as a newcomer coming in, you know, this is a step where we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. And it's good news that it's there already, this power greater than ourselves. And we can assure people that they have this in their heart and ask those questions, you know, do you now believe, or are you even willing to believe that there is this power? And then, do you believe it can restore you to sanity? And I do think it's deep down there in every one of us. And so it's not so hard. You know, it's good news. And yes, it gets obscured as we grow up, for sure. I mean, I've shared before how I felt the closeness of God as a little one. And then, you know, things happen and it gets covered over. And we've got a very specific, and thank goodness, you know, for addict program to relieve us of everything that's covered it up. And people have said it already, the fourth step, going into these, these resentments and fears and things that have obscured God from us. And then as we carry on working through the steps, you know, thank God, a continuation step in 10, which is so linked to this step two, you know, because every time I do a step 10, I am believing that God can restore me to sanity. I'm asking him, remove my fear and direct my attention. And I get sane again, thank God, you know. And Ebby was a demonstration for Bill. There he was sitting across the table, fresh-faced and sober. And that was a miraculous demonstration. And we see them as we read the chapters in the back. Every one of them is a miraculous demonstration of how God's come in and saved addicts. And, you know, this program is surely, this book was surely God-given, God-written. And, you know, we're so lucky to have this very specific way of going about it. So if you're unsure, step two, don't worry, just keep going. And you'll get that, you know, you only need to be willing. And you'll keep going with the steps and you'll find the miracle happening for you too. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Tony B, for being here with us this morning. Up next is...
My earbuds just died. Sorry, hold on just a second.
And up next is Carolyn S. from New York.
Okay.
Are you there, Carolyn?
Sorry, I had a snafu. You all good to go?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hi. This is Carolyn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And these next two paragraphs are so incredible. So, you know, I was raised in a religion where God was judging and punishing. He was also supposed to be loving, but if you did things you weren't supposed to, there was punishment. If not now, then down the road after life. Okay. So I could not accept that. It didn't make any sense to me. And I remember I had a cousin who had a baby, and it was looking very rough at the beginning, whether the baby would survive. And her mother was, you know, pushing and pushing for her to get the baby baptized, because if it died when it wasn't baptized, it would be stuck forever in purgatory. I also had an aunt who killed herself, and there was question of whether she could be buried in hallowed ground. And I saw that, and I was like, this is not a God I can accept. But I wasn't an atheist, because I knew there was something bigger than me, but I didn't know what it was, and it wasn't personal to me. Of course, when I looked at a starlit night, yeah, I too was thinking, you know, who made this? Like, how did all this start? You know, and when the program said, you know, am I the most important thing in the universe? I was like, well, of course not. You know, I didn't create the planet or the people or anything else. So there is something bigger than me. And it doesn't have to be what I was taught as a child. So when I sat down and wrote my job description, my God was all the good stuff and none of the bad stuff. My God loves me unconditionally. My God never gives up on me. My God is so huge that he can do everything at once. Every single, you know, person on this planet, we all have access and, you know, his total attention. So the fact that there's wars and famine and everything else going on in the world, that doesn't mean that God doesn't care about me, and that he's not able to give me the power to do, you know, what seems impossible, which is, you know, not to eat these destructive foods. I don't have to worry he's too busy. He's never too busy. He's got unlimited power, unlimited energy. And when I read deep down inside of a man when a child, I realized that when I thought of God, it was always like in the sky somewhere, you know, far away. But when I heard this, I was like deep down inside, and I started thinking about it. And I was like, you know, trying to picture God in my chest, like, you know, next to my heart. And it worked. I felt like a warmth there. And throughout the day, you know, if I'm ever feeling challenged or scared, or I try to deep breathe and I say, you know, God, please help me feel you. I know he's there. So it's not, please come to me. It's help me feel you. And I try to, you know, relax, and I do. I feel like a warmth. And I think our intuitions, as they say in the big book, they develop over time, and eventually they become part of us. And I find that when I'm doing something that I know my higher power would not be happy about, I get this kind of dread in my stomach. It's, I don't know how else to compare it or to explain it. And when I know I'm doing his will, I feel light. You know, I feel at peace. And, you know, faith, yeah, and miraculous demonstrations of what that faith can do have been around as long as mankind. So I guess that's it. I'm just so grateful to have found these rooms and to find people who are understanding and you know, working at their spiritual journeys. And that's it. Thank you. I'll pass.
Well, perfect timing. Thank you so much, Carolyn S. from New York. Appreciate your share today. And Bonnie B., before you get up to pitch, let me go ahead and tell everybody where we're at. Good morning and welcome to A Vision for You Big Book Study. Today we resume our study in the chapter We Agnostics. We're in the Big Book on page 55. We're reading that second paragraph and commenting on that second paragraph only. It begins with, actually, we were fooling ourselves, through that one paragraph ending with, as old as man himself. So, Bonnie B., you're up next. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Jen, for your service, and thanks for all the beautiful shares. We are a blessed lot. There's no way of getting around it. Bonnie B. from Florida. Currently in North Carolina visiting some kids today. So blessed. So I can remember, you know, growing up, going to church, being raised in a home that wasn't maybe what I would have preferred, but going to church and knowing, having this thing on the inside, this this longing on the inside, going through confirmation and thinking to myself at the end, there has to be something else. As an eighth grader, there has to be something else. That's that emptiness that's inside. That's, to me, that's what the paragraph is talking about. Deep down in the heart of every single person is this empty bucket. And I spent my whole life trying to fill it with everything you can imagine. Much of what has been shared this morning, worshiping, like desperately thinking, if I can just fill that bucket, then I'm going to feel okay when I wake up the next morning. But it was never the case. And I didn't know why. I wanted to do the next right thing. I really did, and I found myself over and over not doing the next right thing. And I ended up back in the closet with the baseball bat because I'm telling you, I was the hardest person on myself ever. I wanted to be able to do what God wanted me to do. I didn't have the power. What was the deal? I was blocked. I didn't know what I was blocked from. I didn't know how to get out of that being blocked until I came into this program. And then when I came into the program and I started doing the work, I still had a Hallmark movie in my head. I have an idea how things are supposed to pull out. If I do my part, then you're supposed to show up and do your part. And guess what? Not so much. Because people aren't born to please me. People do the best they can do with what they have, and it just is what it is. And so the gift of this program for me is God's continual presence within me as long as I consistently expose and expel those tendencies to want to rebel against life as life is. When something interferes with my plans or my desires, I tend to resent it. And here we go again if I don't work this out in a 10-step. The gift of this program for me is to live in that space of gratitude. So when life shows up and it doesn't play out the way I want, and, you know, it does sometimes, I get to immediately pivot, lean in, look up, toss it back to my God in that 3rd-step prayer, and give him praise, give him, you know, gratitude. Several Sundays back, there was a dear fellow who shared the Sunday special edition, and her focus was on gratitude. Oh my word, talk about a game changer. Look at every situation. Can I see God's goodness in it? What can I pull out of it? And then reminding myself continuously that I don't have to understand it. It's not my job to understand anything. It's my job just to accept, surrender, lean in, and trust him. I don't know if the future holds. Thank you so much. But I do know who holds the future. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everyone. Have a blessed and abstinent day.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B., for your share this morning. All right, I'm going to go ahead and take another list of names, and we do value everyone who's on the line today and your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every 3rd day. Share the air in order that others might be able to share their experience too. I'm going to get first names and first initial of last names. If you could do so one at a time, thanks so much. Go right ahead.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Leanne S. from New York.
Leanne S.
Lynn S.
Freddie H. from New York.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the person from New York.
Betty Ann H. from New York.
Betty Ann H. Thanks, Betty Ann. Okay, let me tell you who I heard. I heard Lisa B., Leanne S., Larry K., Lynn S., Betty Ann H., and Kathy S. All right. So if you would just press *1 to mute your phone again, please. That'll quiet the line. And then we'll go ahead and get started with Lisa B. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Jen. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. And I do spell my name L-E-S-A. I was looking at this paragraph where it says, actually, we were fooling ourselves. And I think about how often I can fool myself. Someone shared about it this morning. I give God-like qualities, you know, sometimes to people, to circumstances, to things. And then I give very limited human low standard qualities to this amazing, you know, creator. And what I get from this paragraph is that it's telling me, it uses that word miraculous, those two words, miraculous demonstrations. It's not too good to be true. And I think about when I listen in the light of your experience, everyone sharing their experience on this line and how I identify in day after day, first as a real compulsive overeater, and that there is a solution. I can recover. I can even have permanent recovery. And get this, I can do this happily, which was like the big kicker for me, because I couldn't imagine doing abstinence happily. I just couldn't imagine it. I almost fell off my chair when I first came on this line and someone told me they had 10 years of back-to-back abstinence and they were happy. I didn't understand it. So that's what this is saying to me. It's a miraculous demonstration, and it's as old as mankind himself. So it's natural to have miracles. It's natural to have things work out and go well. And you know what that says to me is that my mind is naturally slanted to a very negative slant and fear-based. And that's why I have to listen in light of you all, you know, the recovery of my co-fellows and work with others and watch through them the demonstration of how these steps work. I remember my sponsor sharing with me, you know, I love when you share with me about what's happening in your life as a recovered fellow, because you proved to me that this works, you know, and she was saying that as a recovered person, and I can say the same thing when the lights come on, other people going through the steps, it's not too good to be true. And the thing is, I have to take everything literally in this book and follow it as a very precise set of description of directions. So anyways, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Up next, we have Leanne F. Did I get that right, Leanne?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go right ahead. Where are you calling from this morning?
S as in Sam, Florida. This is Leanne in recovery from anorexia and compulsive overeating. My first sponsor in OA, well, one of my first sponsors in OA had the gift of listening. And she would listen to me so long that I would end up talking the answer to my own self. And like, I didn't realize that, but that showed me that the answers were deep inside of me. Like the answers were there. God was there. It took a while, but as I talked out my dilemmas and my frustrations and my problems, the answer came out of my own mouth. So that was like the first indication that like, oh my goodness, there is a source of wisdom deep inside of me. And then, you know, after working the steps several different times, I was eventually introduced to the two-way prayer and followed some of the instructions there. I went to several workshops on that, and I would hear others, you know, the source of these answers that they got were inside of them. And then I started practicing two-way prayer also. And still today, I'll write it all out in the morning. And then when I read it later on to my sponsor later in the day, I'm shocked of what comes out, because it is a source of, it's the source of wisdom deep within me. It's the Spirit of God, which is love and gentleness. And I know that anything that is up is from God, and anything that's down is not. So I choose the things that are loving and encouraging. And to me, my God is love. Everything of love is of Him. And I know that's deep inside of me because it comes out. So today, I often give people in the program the gift of listening also. And it's amazing how they, you know, the answer comes out of them eventually. So that was like, I didn't even realize that I was learning that the source of wisdom and strength in God was inside of me years ago. I didn't even realize that until now when I look back and I think about it, like, wow, He really is deep inside of me. And it just takes some pulling it out. It takes time. It takes some silence. And, yeah, so that's what this reminded me of today. And thanks so much for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Leanne S. from Florida. Glad you're here today. Up next is Larry K. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Jen. Thanks for your service. I'm Larry K. and I live in Chicago. And thanks for everyone's share. You know, when I think of this paragraph, I once heard someone share something that made me think about it. And it involves, if you can picture a pie chart, someone else mentioned a pie chart, a pie graph, right? I'm a compulsive overeater. I think about pie. But a pie graph. And there's three, let's call it three slices. There's a little sliver of that pie graph, and it's the things that we know that we know. I know that I know how to compulsively eat. I do that very well. By the grace of God, I don't do that today, but I know that I know how to do that. I know that I know how to ride a bicycle, maybe not as good as when I was, 10, but I can still get on a bike and ride one. I know that I know that skill. There's another tiny little sliver of the pie chart is the things that we know that we do not know. I fly on planes, so do you. I just don't know how to fly one. I don't know. I know that I do not know how to fly a plane. There's so many things that I know that I do not know. But the biggest, the vast majority of that pie chart is the things that we do not know that we do not know. The things that we do not know that we do not know. And you know what someone once told me? They said, you know what recovery is all about? It's about the things that we do not know that we do not know. How wonderful that some of us, by the implementation of the steps, come to know that recovery works. That's great. Let's not speak from a mountaintop. Let's not put other people down because we were given grace. We didn't earn it. I didn't earn anything. I worked some steps. God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. But that was something that at one time was something that I did not know that I did not know, that the obsession could be eradicated, that I could be brought into a relationship with. I did not know that I didn't know that until it happened. It's experiential. We call that recovery. That's what this is all about. And I'm grateful for it. And thanks for your service, Jen. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Up next, we have Lynn. Good morning, Lynn S.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, Vision. This paragraph has a profound effect on me. For deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. I was in relapse in 1st of June, 2023. And I had no desire to stop eating, none whatsoever. But I had a wedding coming up and I had to decide. I was either going to eat for the next 6 weeks and gain gosh knows how many pounds and not go to the wedding, or I was going to white knuckle it and just stay where I was, sort of kind of, weight-wise, size-wise for 6 weeks. And then I was going to binge my face off because I wasn't done yet. I'd had a 6-day binge and I wasn't done yet. And I didn't want to put the food down. I didn't want to be abstinent. I wanted to keep eating. And my plan was, I remembered what it was like in my 8-year relapse, and I couldn't stand to live with myself, my thoughts in my head. I just couldn't stand it. So my plan was to eat after that wedding and then kill myself because I couldn't stand to live like that again. I couldn't go through it. But God had other plans for me. And somehow, and I could never understand how God could rescue me when I didn't want to be rescued. But it's right here. Deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And that was still in my soul and in my heart. And God sent out a search and rescue mission for me. And he reached down and he touched that part in me that is of God. And I was abstinent that next morning. I just don't know. I'm so grateful. And that's why this paragraph, is that one word means so much to me. That's how God saved me in spite of myself. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. And this morning, my face-to-face group is holding a medallion for me. And to be able to celebrate that with them, and this paragraph is being read that means so much to me, I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Ah, beautiful way to end. Thanks, Lynn S. Congratulations. I'm so sorry, Betty Ann and Kathy S. We won't have time for your shares today on the first hour, but there is a second unrecorded hour that you could share on. So please pitch your names again for that hour. All right, folks. Well, thanks to everyone who shared. Thanks to everyone who served. It's been an awesome October. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. Here's the share ID for today. Grab your pen and paper. For Friday, October 25th, 2024, the share ID for the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21,861. That's 21861. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anita L. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thanks, Jen. Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.